Good afternoon. I'm thankful to be here. I'd like to thank the elders for giving me the opportunity to speak this afternoon. There's some of here I know who you are. There are some that I don't. And I'd like to change that, and me and my family would like to get to know you better. If you haven't turned there already, I'd ask you to turn into your Bibles to Matthew, the 22nd chapter, starting in verse 37. Matthew 22, starting in verse 37. Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these hang all the law and the prophets." Our love for God is shown by reflecting these two commandments. They are first, and they rank first and second in utmost importance. Everything that we do should be motivated by a love for God and a love for our neighbor. If we do not have love, everything we do in this life, every commandment we try to keep, is futile. 1 Corinthians 13 teaches us that even if we are to offer our body to be burned, it profits me nothing. Jesus said in John 14:15, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." We see the commandment here by Jesus in Matthew 22. This was not the first time it was given. It was given in the Old Testament in Leviticus, the 19th chapter, in verse 18. So what was Jesus telling them about love that they did not already know? Well, I think we find this answer in the Gospel of John. In John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, starting in verse 34, it says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." In this passage, Jesus refers to this as the new commandment. But why was it a new commandment? They had certainly been commanded to love before. All throughout the Scriptures, God teaches us to love. Well, let us look at the second part of verse 34 and key in on that. In verse 34, it says, "That you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." Jesus instructs the disciples here to love one another, but what was now new about this commandment was not only Jesus was telling them how to love, he was going to show them how to love the way that he loves. The commandment here in John 13 is to love like Jesus. We often associate love with emotions, warm, fuzzy feelings, something that happens spontaneous. But this is not true love. True love is something that is learned. It is something that has been shown to us from Jesus. One of the many great things about our God is he did not just leave us with the commandment to say, "I want you to love me, I want you to love your neighbor." But what is great about our God is that he sent his Son on this earth to be a servant for us, and he showed us how to love. We can certainly have great joy in knowing that about our Lord. He has given us Jesus as an example. Everything he did, every thought, every action, everything he did was motivated by a love for us. If we love the way Jesus loved, then others will know that we are his disciples. Verse 35. Isn't this what it's all about? Isn't this what our service is all about? Showing others the way Jesus loves. We miss the point of this passage if we are unwilling to love the way Jesus loved. We are to show who he is. We are to show his character. We are to show others the love that Jesus has for all of mankind. Well, how do we do this? How do we learn to love more and more like Jesus? We need to look at the type of love that he had for us. We need to look at what is involved in this love. Before we can love properly, we have to see this type of love and what it means. Loving more like Jesus means we are to love the unlovable. In John 3, verse 16, Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Jesus' love extends to who? It extends to all man. Jesus loves everyone. The love of God is extended to every person who's walked the face of this earth. This means, as His people, we are to love those that He loves. We are to love all those that we come in contact with. This means we are to love even those who do not love us. Those who despise us. Those who hate us. We are to love the unlovable. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, it says, "And this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And if we go down to verse 19, it says, "We love Him because He first loved us." We are to love others first. We don't wait for others to love us. We are to love those who don't deserve to be loved. We are to love those who are unlovable. This is the way that Jesus loved. Even the tax collectors loved those who loved them. In Matthew 5, verse 46, we read, "For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same?" What reward do we have if we're only willing to love those who love us? We're told here that it's easy to love those who love us. It's easy to show love for people who show love to us. But what is the true test when we're showing the love of Jesus? It's loving those who don't love us. It's loving those who don't care about us. We're to love others first, just the way God loved us. This is not the way Jesus loved when we think of those who love only because they've been loved. Jesus showed His love for us before we even had a chance to love Him. In Romans 5, verses 6 through 8, we read, "For when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man one would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Christ loved the unlovable. He loved those who didn't deserve to be loved. Who did Jesus love? He loved those who hated Him. Isaiah 53:3 says, "He was despised and rejected by men." But what do we know about our Lord? His love extends to all man. He died for all man. He died for even those who hated and rejected Him. He died for those who mocked Him. He died for those who beat Him. He died for those who put a crown of thorns and shoved it into His head. He died for those who hung Him on a cross, who drove nails into His hands, into His feet. He died for those who killed Him. He died for those who spat upon Him. He died for those who showed no mercy towards Him. What an amazing love that our Lord Jesus Christ has for all man. Remember that we were once in a state of wickedness. We did not physically put Jesus on the cross, but our sins put Him there. We were separated from our God. Jesus showed His love for us by giving His life so that we can have a relationship with Him that we have today. Our Lord wants this relationship with all men. He gives all men the opportunity to seek Him. Loving more like Jesus means that we will show this love to others, even to those who are not lovable. It may be an unreasonable boss at work who's hard to deal with. It may be somebody who absolutely hates you and would invite ill will upon you. Whoever it may be, we can look at the example of our Lord. We can look at Jesus knowing that He endured it all. He suffered it all. He went through all the struggles. He went through all the struggles for us. We haven't went through anything that our Lord hasn't gone through. We can look at Jesus as our example. We can show a love for the unlovable because that is the type of love that Jesus has shown to us. Well, how else can we love more like Jesus? Loving more like Jesus means we are to be completely void of self-interest. Everything that Jesus did was motivated by a lack of self. We read this in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 39, where Jesus is praying in the garden. And He says, "O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as You will." Who was Jesus concerned about as it was nearing the time of His death? Who was Jesus concerned about as He knew that He was about to endure the agony and the torture on the cross? He wasn't concerned about Him. He was concerned about His Father in heaven. When we read this passage, we see the struggles that Jesus is going through. It's something that He wasn't looking forward to. He certainly didn't want to go through the pain and the agony that was about to befall Him. But what was most important is that He was going to do the will of His Father. We should realize that Jesus had a choice. He chose to go through this for us. We often say that this is something that He had to do. He didn't have to do this. This was a willful choice that our Lord chose for us. In Matthew 26, verse 53, we see this choice reiterated. "Or do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father and He will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels?" Jesus could have stopped what was about to happen to Him at any time. He could have stopped all the pain and all the suffering, but He chose to go through it willfully because He loved us. In John 6, verse 38, Jesus said, "For I have not come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me." In John chapter 5, verse 30, Jesus says, "I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me." In Philippians 2, it probably illustrates the selflessness of Jesus probably more than any other passage in the New Testament. In Philippians 2, starting in verse 5, it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself, and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." My brothers and sisters, we have been called to this type of love. It is a love that is void of all self-interest. Think about our Lord. Think about what He did for us. He made Himself of no reputation. This means He started out from humble beginnings. Jesus, reigning in heaven in the form of God, decided to make Himself nothing. He was born of parents who had nothing. He took the form of a bondservant. The one who should be served became the one who serves. Jesus showed this example so well in John chapter 13 when He washed the disciples' feet as an example for them. Jesus became like those who He created. He lived the human experience. He did all this never thinking of Himself. Even to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Well, why do we see in this passage where Paul makes special mention of the death of the cross? Well, the cross was a visible symbol of shame and reproach. There were considered many different honorable ways for someone to die. The death on the cross was not one of them. It was a death for the most heinous of criminals. It was a death that was placed on public display. It was the ultimate humiliation. This is the type of love that Christ had for us. This is the type of love that He had. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, humbled Himself to nothing, to take the form of a bondservant, to be rejected by men, to go through all the suffering, all the pain, to be mocked, to be beaten, to be spat upon. Our King of Kings and Lord of Lords did all of that because He loved us. What great amazing love that our Lord Jesus has for us. It is a void of self-interest. Brethren, we make every provision for ourselves. We make sure that we are eating well. We make sure that we are clothed well. We make sure that we're driving fine automobiles. But what are we doing for others? Are we showing a void of self-interest just like our Lord Jesus did? Well, what is another way that we can love more and more like Jesus? Well, Jesus loved sacrificially. In order to love more like Jesus, our love needs to be one of sacrifice. In John 15, verses 12 and 13, it says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay one's life down for his friends." Jesus here in this passage tells us what the standard of love is. He says there's no greater love than one who's willing to give his life for his friends. But not only did He tell us what this type of love is, this sacrificial love, but He showed us what the standard of love is. Jesus showed us what the standard of love is. And 1 John 3, verse 16, it starts out, "By this we know love, because He laid down His life for us, and we also ought to lay down our life for the brethren." The word "ought" here in verse 16 suggests that this is the least that we can do for our brethren. It's something that says that we must do for our brethren if need be. Jesus' love for us was sacrificial. He willingly laid down His life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brothers and sisters. Now we read the context of this passage in 1 John. The Apostle John, at the time of writing this letter, there was times of persecution. The church was being persecuted. There would be times where Christians would face occasions where they may have to give their life for their brothers and sisters. That time may arise. We live in a world today where that situation may never come about. But what is this passage trying to say? Well, I think we go on if we read verse 17. It says, "But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him?" See, today we may never be in this situation, but this type of love requires sacrifice. We need to be continually making sacrifices for our brothers and sisters. If we are not willing to meet the needs of others, as talked about in verse 17, if we are not willing to show compassion, if we are not willing to show love, if we are not willing there to be for our brothers and sisters when they are in need, then how could we ever expect that we would have a spirit that would be willing to die for our brothers and sisters in Christ? This may require sacrifice of time. It may require sacrifice of money, energy, and effort. loving sacrificially will motivate one to action. Look at verse 18. Let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. What do your actions say about your sacrifice to others? In Romans 12, verse 1, the Apostle Paul writes to the Romans there, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. What's the application here? Our sacrifice is supposed to be a living sacrifice. Every day, continually, sacrificing for others, sacrificing for our brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to make each day a priority of that in our lives. So this type of love, how are we doing? Are we loving more like Jesus? Are we loving the way that He loves? Are we loving like this in our marriage? Do we show the type of love that Jesus has for us to our spouse? In Ephesians 5, verse 22, starts out saying, Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself up for her. Husbands, how are you to love your wives? You're to love your wives just as Christ loved the church. How did Christ love the church? He gave Himself up for the church. What does our attitude need to be towards our spouse? We should be willing to give our life for our spouse. But I think it's talking much more than that. It's talking about sacrifice. What are you daily doing for your spouse and your life? Husbands, are you showing your wife that she is that important person in your life? Are you holding her up? Are you speaking well of her? Are you doing things for her every day? Wives, how do you look at your husbands? Are you respecting him as a spiritual leader in your home? Do we have this type of love? Do we have this type of love for each other? Do we have this type of love for the lost? How do you approach someone who you know is in a sinful condition? How do you approach someone that you know that is lost? Do you approach them in the way that Jesus loves? Do you sincerely come at them, valuing their soul? When you look at someone who needs Jesus in their life, do you look at their soul and say, this is something of value? We need to take self-examination as we read 2 Corinthians 13:5. We need to take a look at ourselves on how we're doing in this type of love. Do we struggle sometimes with this type of love? Do we struggle with the type of love that Jesus has for us? I know oftentimes I struggle with this. And I have a long way to go. And I'm sure a lot of you can say the same. But loving more like Jesus will define our character. In Colossians 3, verse 12, it says, Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another if anyone has a complaint against another. Even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. This is taking on the character of Jesus. Do you show compassion? Do you show forgiveness like our Lord? Do you show all the qualities that our Lord showed as He walked this earth? Are you showing them to others? Are you reflecting Jesus in your life? So I ask again, how are we doing? How are you doing in your life? In your walk with the Lord? Are you loving more like Jesus? Are you growing in His love? Are you showing the type of love to others that Jesus has shown to you? If you're not a Christian this afternoon, you can make that right today. We do not have one more moment that is guaranteed than what we have right now. If you want to experience this love that Jesus has, that He extends to all man, you can make your life right today. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, if you believe that He walked this earth, if you believe the miracles that He performed, if you believe in everything that He did, you can make that known today. You can make that confession here. You can repent of your sins. You can be buried with Him in baptism. And you can arise out of the water a new creature, walking for Him, making a commitment to the Lord. Do you want to love more like Jesus? You can make that commitment today. We ask you to come as we stand and sing.